Great. If you've got a Bible, then please do go ahead and grab it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 again. If you're here last week, you'll know that we started a series looking at the Lord's Prayer, which is where Jesus is trying to show his disciples how to pray. And that's really important. He's not showing them what to pray. It's not these are a certain load of words that you need to pray if you want God to hear you. He's showing them how to pray. These are the kinds of things to pray for. These are the things that are on God's heart that God wants you to have on your heart. And so what we said as we kind of introduced the whole subject last week is that prayer does a couple of things. Prayer gives us a mindset shift. As we pray the kinds of things we see in the Lord's Prayer, it reminds us of who God is and who we are in relation to him. But as well as giving us a mindset shift, prayer changes lives. And we saw that over history. Every time there has been a new, powerful work of the Spirit, it has always started with prayer. And so my prayer is that as we rediscover this amazing teaching on prayer that the Lord gives us, and as we let our lives and our prayers be shaped by this passage, that we would see God do amazing things in this generation. That's my prayer. So before we dig in, I just want us to read this prayer together again. We did this last week. It was an utter catastrophe. Why don't we stand if we're able? And as crazy as it might sound, let's pray this prayer. Let's read this prayer together as if we actually mean it, okay? Let's go for it. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, would you give us our daily bread today? Would you feed us from your word today, I pray. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. So Jesus is wanting to teach his disciples how to pray. But before he gets into the nitty-gritty of the kinds of things he wants them to pray for, the first thing he wants to remind us is who we are praying to. Okay, it's really important for us to grasp that. In order for us to know how to pray, we need to know who we are praying to. Because I don't know about you, but if I was praying to this God, my prayers would probably look a bit different to if I was praying to this God. We need to know who we're praying to. So who is this God that we're praying to? Well, it's there in the very first sentence. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And the first thing I want us to see about who we're praying to is that we are praying to our heavenly Father. Our Father who is in heaven. And you know, I could illustrate this with any number of passages from the Bible, but if you've got a Bible, can you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, please? I could go to any number of passages, but as I was preparing this week, these verses stuck out to me. Isaiah chapter 40, it's not going to come up on the screen, so if you haven't got it in front of you, maybe you want to just close your eyes, and this is good stuff, okay? I mean, it's all good stuff, but you get what I mean, okay. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He, that's God, sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, that he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Do you remember in primary school having stupid arguments with your friends about whose dad was the coolest? You know, my dad's 6 foot, well, my dad's 6'4". My dad drives a Mercedes, well, my dad drives a Ferrari. That's great, isn't it? My dad stretches out the heavens like a canopy. That's my dad. My dad brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. That's my dad. My dad brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Have you seen someone who owns loads of dogs walking in Knighton Park and calling out the dogs' names? God does that with the stars. That's my God. That's my dad. You see, when we're praying, we're not coming to this guy here. We are covering to the sovereign king of the universe. We're coming to the one who is far above every ruler and power this world will ever know. We're coming to the one who has unlimited power, unlimited authority, unlimited wisdom, and unlimited insight. We're coming to the one who was before all and is going to be standing when it all ends. When we pray, we're coming to the one who stands outside of history and can see the beginning from the end, and who, according to Ephesians 1, is working out everything in accordance with his plan for this world that, by the way, he made by speaking. This is not some little league God. We're coming to the one whose beauty outshines all of creation, whose power overshadows all earthly rulers, and whose wisdom cannot be contained in all of literature. And do you know what this means? This means there's no prayer too big for our God. There's no prayer that God hears us. He's like, oh man, today's a rest day. Yesterday was leg day, so I'm having a rest day today. So it's just a bit too much for me today. This doesn't happen. You cannot outpray God's power. You just can't. And I wonder if sometimes we forget that God is our heavenly Father, and our prayers, instead of being heavenly, just become a bit earthly. And it's not that God doesn't care about the little things, it's not that God doesn't care about the intimate details of our lives, but I wonder if sometimes we're praying for all the little stuff down here, and God's like, hello, I'm the king of the universe here. Can't you think a little bit bigger? What big prayers are you praying? I'm guessing if you're praying, then you're definitely praying the little prayers. You know, God, help me with this day at work. God, help me with this family situation. Those are great prayers to pray. But what big prayers are you praying faithfully? God, would you bring revival in Leicester? That's a big prayer. God, would you break into my school? That's a big prayer. God, would you use me to bring someone to know you this year? That's a prayer. Sometimes I wonder if the reason I find prayer so hard is that I just lack imagination. The imagination is to think what God could do. Will we be a people who dream big, who pray big? He's our heavenly Father. That's the first thing. But secondly, he's our heavenly Father. That's how Jesus starts this prayer. Our Father in heaven. I met up with a friend earlier this week who told me something that just really helped me understand this a little bit better. So I added it in. I thought it was going to make the talk a little bit longer, but I added it in because it's brilliant. Apparently, my friend's sister, called Zana, loves the Queen. Like, writes letters to the Queen all the time. And she's his little sister. She's not very old. And here's the last letter that she sent. As you can see, there's the BFG there, and the Queen, and then Sophie. Of course, that's what you put in a letter to the Queen. And she writes this: To Her Majesty, Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year. I've got a question for you. How many times have you seen Big Ben's fireworks? I love you. Lots of love, Zana. That's a cool letter, isn't it? This is the reply she received. Dear Zana, The Queen wishes me to thank you very much for the message you and your parents have sent to her for New Year, and for the pictures that you drew for her. Although unable to reply to you personally, Her Majesty was pleased to hear from you and interested to read your questions, of course. I have enclosed some information which I hope you will enjoy reading, and I am to send you the Queen's best wishes and renewed thanks for your thought for Her Majesty at this time. Yours sincerely, Susan Hussey, Lady-in-Waiting. Let's be honest, that's pretty much what you'd expect, right? I mean, the Queen is pretty busy ruling the Commonwealth. She probably hasn't even seen this young child's letter, let alone had time to respond to it. She's a busy lady. And yet Jesus says, when you pray, you are not just praying to a monarch. You're not just praying to the King of Kings, the one unrivaled in power and authority and supremacy. You are also praying to your heavenly Father. That means when one of his people pray, the cosmic King of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, turns his full attention towards you. Isn't that astonishing? Ain't no ladies in waiting here. It's just you and your Heavenly Father. And you know, for some of us here, that's huge. Because for whatever reason, some of us here don't have fathers. Or we never knew our fathers, or we wish we never knew our fathers. But Jesus says that you and I have a heavenly Father, which means he is a perfect Father who will never leave you, he will never walk out on you, he will never flip out on you, and he will never forsake you. It means that if you are in God's kingdom, you are not a nobody, you are not just a number, you are not just a statistic, you are not just a dress size, you are not just a bra size or an exam result. You are not a nobody, you are a somebody, you are his somebody. Friends, brothers, sisters, you belong to him. And if you're here and you're just exploring Christianity, you're looking into the claims of Christianity, there are so many things we could talk about, but surely this is one of the most mind-blowing. That the God of the universe wants to know you and for you to know him as Father. Have you experienced that love, that intimacy? Because you can. You can. If you would turn to him and say, sorry for not living the way you've called me to. Forgive me. I want to be called your child. You can do that right now. He is our heavenly Father. And you know, I love what Jesus has to say about God being our Father. Actually, it's in the verse just before the Lord's Prayer. It's just in verse 8. And Jesus is talking about the pagans and how they pray and they're babbling and they're using big words because they think that's going to make God hear them. And Jesus says this, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Do you ever go to those parties as a kid where there are loads of you and you just run around like an utter crazy person? And you get so hot and sweaty, you have an amazing time, and then suddenly you realize that you're probably quite thirsty, and so all is one, you run inside to your friend's mum, and you're going to your friend's mum, we're thirsty, can we have some? And then as you're speaking, she turns around to you with a jug of ready-made juice. You're like, how did you know? I remember when I was a teenager, I was going out to see my girlfriend. This was before Lou, don't tell her. This was before Lou. While I was out, she broke up with me, and you know, broke my little teenage heart. And I got home, and my parents knew before I said anything. As I come, they knew. To this day, I have no idea how they knew, but they knew. Because that's what parents do. They just know. You know, so often I think we can come to God with all the little stuff that we think we need, all the stuff that we think matters. And God hears us, and he's like, Yeah, I already knew all that. I knew all that before you knew all that. I knew all that before you were born. I'm God. I was here in the beginning. I can see all the way to the end. I know all that there is to know. And guess what? My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I know that what you think you need isn't what you really need. And so I'm going to hear all the stuff that you think you need, but I'm already working on what you really need, and even the stuff that you don't know that you really need yet. And you know, sometimes I think we fall into the trap of thinking we think like God. Like we're as smart as God is. Like we see what God sees. Like we understand what God understands. But he is our heavenly Father. And so, you know, I'd love to know why stuff happens the way it does. I'd love to know why he doesn't answer all my prayers the way I want him to. But you know what? If God sat me down and explained to me why he didn't answer my prayers the way I want him to, why some stuff happens the way I want it to, I wouldn't understand it anyway. Because he's so much higher than us. He's so much smarter than us. His ways are so far above our ways that what God is doing and how he's weaving a tapestry in all the world throughout all of history would blow our flipping minds if we just caught a glimpse of it. You know how I know? Because God took the worst day in human history, the day they crucified the eternal Son of God. God takes the worst day and turns it into the best day. As that death turned out to be the thing that brought salvation to the world. God was doing what we needed before we even knew we needed it. Before we ever asked for forgiveness, God crucified his Son that you and I could know him, could call him Heavenly Father. And you know, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy to live with that question of why. Why do these things happen? Why don't these things happen? But all I'm saying is if God had a plan to redeem the worst day in history, it's a fair bet to say that he has a plan to redeem your life too. To redeem your pain too, if you'll let him. To redeem your suffering and your questions and your doubts and your darkness too. Because he loves you. And so I'm going to pray big. Because he is my heavenly Father. No prayer is too big for him. So if you come to me and you're sick, I'm going to pray for you in the faith and the expectation that God can and will heal you if he wants to. But I'm also going to pray in the knowledge that no matter whether or not he answers my prayer the way we want him to, he is able to use even the worst circumstances for our good and for his kingdom and for his glory. He is our heavenly Father. But you know, there's one thing I haven't mentioned. It's the very first word. Our. Yes, he's your Father, but he's also my Father in heaven. We need each other in this. We need each other to help us to pray, to help remind us that we can pray big, to remind us when things don't go as we pray, as we plan, that God is still our Father who loves us. We need each other to remind us that to shift this mindset onto God as our Father in heaven. So as we close, we don't normally do this, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, in the spirit of our, I'm going to just put some questions up. And what I'd love is just for us just to spend a bit of time just reflecting on these questions and then maybe praying through whatever comes out. And of course, if you're here and you'd rather just do that kind of on yourself, kind of in the quiet of your own heart, and you'd rather not kind of discuss that with others, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. No one's going to force anyone to talk to anyone. But actually, if you want to just turn to the person next to you, turn into groups and talk about these things and pray them through, then that's fine. So why don't we just take a couple of minutes, however feels most comfortable to us, just to think through these questions, and just a couple more minutes to pray. If you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I'm not asking you to pray, okay? That's absolutely fine. You don't have to pray. That would be weird. Maybe you can just chat with the person next to you about these questions, or about the sermon, or about the football, or the rugby, perhaps. But why don't we just spend a couple of minutes, and then I'll come and we'll pray, and the band will lead us after that. Father, you are heavenly. You have no rival. You have no equal. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. The technology agrees. You reign forever and will reign forever. And yet you bid us come. You bid us into intimacy. You bid us into relationship. You bid us to enjoy you. And Father, so often we either don't pray or we pray as if it's a chore. And Lord, there's a day coming where that's just not going to happen. We're just going to just love our time with you. But Father, would you grow in us that intimacy and that awe? That intimacy and that expectancy, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you breathe among us now? Remind us of your bigness and your closeness, your greatness and your goodness. In the name of our brother Jesus Christ. Amen.